Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello, and welcome to an hour of Mind Power. This is Donna Sebo, broadcasting to you live from Tampa, Florida, and it's just absolutely gorgeous here, and we have some wonderful guests today that I'm so delighted that through the power of technology, we are able to interact with them. We have two people, both of whom are going to be appearing at the upcoming Wisdom Festival that I've been talking about for many weeks now, that's coming up in it's the 17th and 18th of this month. My first guest is Brian McClure, and Brian is involved with something that has a universal theme to it. In fact, it's called the Universal Flag. Brian, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Donna. It's great to be here.
Now, I understand you have a show of your own where you are very much involved in working with a project for people around the world. Tell us a little bit about your background, Brian, and what evolved into this happening. What was the evolution, I should say, for this concept of the universal flag?
Well, actually, back in the mid-90s, I was awakened every night at about 3 in the morning by spirit and told to create a universal flag. And I really wasn't too interested in that project at the time. I didn't know how connected, though, that awakening was to what it was that would be my life mission or ultimate life work. And after being awakened for many years, finally, 9/11 hit. And I knew that a million other souls have been given the same opportunity to create our universal flag, which represents the oneness of everyone and everything. In fact, the first symbol that's ever been trademarked that represents that. First symbol that ever represents no separation, no limitation, just a oneness in the only truth that there is about energy and life. And so... As I was sitting in my hygienist chair, a hygienist was working on my teeth, and she was all concerned about the Taliban and the Al-Qaeda, and she thought that we should bomb Afghanistan. And it was at that point that I recognized that, you know, no bombing and no terrorism, nothing can create the truth of who we are. We needed the symbol. And so that's when I really started to put the symbol together and listen to spirit. And ultimately, did not take the symbol out for another few years because I didn't want my name associated with it, and finally recognized and realized that that was why I'd come back. So the symbol's now in 110 countries, and it continues to spread in each new day. It's a wonderful opportunity. It's your symbol. It's everyone's symbol. And anyone can see it at universalflag.org. Spread that great message.
Now, Brian, with what you're doing and with what has evolved with this, when you first brought this concept out, where did you go with this in the beginning? I mean, first to come up with the design, which you were inspired to do, in doing the universal flag, the message of peace is one that many people have and they want to share, and of course, any way that we can go towards that objective is good, and I'm very supportive of that. But how has this changed your life, and what has the impact been? You have it in so many different countries. What has the impact been with this? What are some of the stories that you can share with us?
Well, I'll tell you what. I just got back from Africa, and I went to where all the child soldiers were taken in Sierra Leone. They were in a 15-year war that devastated the country in Africa. And, I visited with some of the poorest communities on the face of the planet, people who earn less than a dollar a day. And I saw the deplorable conditions that they live in, conditions that would be totally unacceptable for any of us. I saw the lack of sanitation, the lack of water, the lack of food, the lack of nutrition and medicine and dentistry. And, you know, what's amazing in that country, I opened up a school there because kids don't have the opportunity to go to school. You know, there are literally hundreds of thousands of street children, 10% of the country or more are orphans. And, you know, so I assessed what it needed. But, you know, the universal flag was very important to all those people. And I next traveled to Uganda, and I went to where AIDS first struck, in Masaka. And then I went to where the Ebola virus broke out. And, again, I saw the same thing. I saw grandmothers raising grandchildren and other children that weren't even theirs, because of the AIDS virus that has killed so many adults. And, you know, and I wondered how that could happen, and I found out that it's a cultural thing where males will stop off with the concubine in the village over, and they really don't have a whole lot of education. You know, most of these countries lack education. If they get primary school, they're lucky. And secondary and college is even, you know, a further stretch. And so, you know, I've come back and I document a number of the conditions that people live in, because half of our world lives on less than $2 a day.
Mm-hmm.
And inside of that, we really don't talk about it. We don't film it. And I took 15 hours worth of film. It took, you know, 1,000 pictures. I'm bringing things back to show people and to get onto mainstream television. And, you know, I'm going to talk about it on my radio show, where I have, you know, a show that I talk about a call to consciousness. And really, it's all of our opportunities to have a call to consciousness. You know, I've said to everyone, the one thing that our world has always lacked, we have literally hundreds of thousands of groups that want peace, and they speak about love, and they speak about helping, and we've got every type of Feed the Children, World Vision. No one works together because no one has a common symbol that really represents the connection, the interdependence that we all have on everyone and everything. And what I'm trying to do is tear down the barriers to get religions, to get people, to get all of the 501c3s to start to work together so that we can systematically help to educate and then get in and eradicate the deplorable conditions that we have around the world. And it's not just in Africa. I'm heading out to the Indian reservations next in the United States. You know, there's Appalachia, there's India, there are so many places. And what I recognize is that we have to start to view our world in a different way. Just like when you understand what the universal flag and symbol represents, you know, something much greater than any flag that represents land that's got borders and a culture and a philosophy, when it expands to all, which is really the truth, then it gives you a different awareness of the world. And it's about changing awareness. It's about changing the viewpoint that we have. And really, it starts with our children, too. Now, I want to get some of this footage into school systems so that they can take a look at an early age, because our children will help to change tomorrow's world.
Oh, I think that that's very, very true. Now, when you have been in these different countries, when you have had the opportunity to speak, do you go to the governments? Are you invited by private groups? Who are you reaching out to?
Actually, I met with the parliament, and the parliament over in Sierra Leone is just like our senators here. And I met with two parliament members out of 450. I found out that 23 of the parliament members in Sierra Leone have spent some time in the United States, and so they have an idea about the way our culture works, the way, you know, the sanitation system we have. And I mean, as an example, there is no toilet paper in Sierra Leone anywhere. In fact, there are no toilets anywhere. There's not even running water anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
There's no electricity in most places. And so when you go into these places and you see, and we don't have smell-o-vision right now, Donna, if you could smell what I smelled, then that would be the first thing that you would never forget. and then to take a look at where little children have to go to the bathroom and how they have to go. And you know, they don't have anything to wipe with. They try to use water. And that really isn't a good way to do it. It isn't a clean way to do it. And that's why there's a lot of disease and a number of things that happen. I mean, it's just a condition that should not have to exist with the technology that we've had for hundreds of years. But it's not something that we've ever paid attention to. And so, yes, I did meet with Parliament. I asked them about, you know, the lack of education, the lack of books. Everyone knows what they need. These countries have suffered from a lot of corruption for many, many years at the top. And so it's the non-governmental organizations that will make the changes. I went in with a group of people with the universal flag, and I was taken to places where no one gets to go. I went to some of the poorest places. I went to a camp called Grafton, which has about 40,000 people. 4 to 6 people die per day. And, you know, just literally hundreds of children. There's lepers there that I visited with. There are amputees. There's amputee camps from, you know, when the rebels came in and just whacked off arms or legs. And these people are forced to beg every day for food because they have no opportunity for agriculture. They have opportunity for growing much of anything. And in other communities where they've started to grow some cassava, grow some rice, and grow some other things, but they don't have the technology to mill it or to do the things that could, you know, help them to get out of some of the conditions that they're in.
And well, so, oh, excuse me.
Go ahead.
Yeah, what I was going to say is, I know we just have a little bit of time here. Now, you have a website, and I would like for you to give out the information about your website. Also, you are going to be speaking at the Wisdom Festival in San Francisco,
mm-hmm.
and you're going to be addressing this subject. So for those of you in Northern California that are listening to the show, you will have the opportunity to hear more about Brian McClure's involvement with these various communities throughout the world. Brian, what is your website?
It's universalflag.org. And anyone who wants to write me can just write me at onewithall@universalflag.com. And so, you know, if you get to that website, and we're going to try to update it with a number of things. We haven't in a while with a number of the trips that I've taken. I've just been so busy in getting out and spreading awareness. And you can take a look when you get to the website at the flash presentation. It will really tell you all about the symbol, the universal flag, your symbol, and, you know, that symbol hangs in offices, it flies from companies, and it flies around the world. It's with people, you know, we have had people from many countries that order the flag, that fly the flag, that spread the message, and it's about to spread that great news of oneness.
Brian, thank you so much for being my guest today. And again, it's universalflag.org. Or they could just type
Correct.
In it's universalflag.org, where you can find out more information about this man's special commitment to making a difference in the world. Brian, thank you so
Thanks.
Much for being my guest.
Thanks, Donna.
This is Donna Sebo. We are going to be talking with Dr. Walter Simke in just a little bit here. So we are going to be making that connection with him. And as I mentioned, and our engineer will be letting me know as soon as we have Dr. Walter on the line. Okay, we're going to take a break so that we can make that connection. We'll be back in just a moment. Don't go away.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Hello, we've not been able to reach Dr. Walter, so we are just going to let this go on, and if he's able to get back to us, we don't know what those circumstances are, we will definitely be in touch. Meanwhile, telephone lines will be available and open, so you'll be able to give me a call during the program if you so desire, and I'll be delighted to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. You can call me at 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227 or 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. Again, Donna Sebo here, and I'm broadcasting to you from Tampa, Florida. And I have to tell you that it's absolutely gorgeous, absolutely gorgeous. As I'm broadcasting to you, I'm looking out into a body of water that's loaded with sailboats. The sky is blue. It looks like, and it is, a tropical area that is just absolutely incredibly beautiful, and I just feel so fortunate to be here. For those of you who have been listening, you know that I'm here with the TTAP retreat, and I'll tell you, I found out that I had muscles that I didn't know that existed, and we'll be telling you more about it later on in the month. But it has just been a phenomenal experience here, interacting with so many people, dealing with so many different challenges and so many different areas of interest. It is just amazing. I think one of the best ways to realize how big the world is to interact with people from different cultures, from different parts of the country and the world, and to just have a chance to chat with them and to talk. It is so amazing to me how we will get caught up with maybe what we see on television or what we read in the newspapers. And when you have an opportunity where you can interact with other people, it makes a big difference. We have Dr. Walter. Great. That's wonderful. Hello.
Oh, I wish I were Dr. Walter. I'm a caller.
You're a caller. Hey, that's fine. I thought it might have been Dr. Walter, but it isn't, but that's okay. I'm delighted to have you call in. Who am I speaking with?
Lucy.
Hi, Lucy. Welcome to the show. And where are you calling from?
San Diego.
San Diego. Oh, boy. Just gorgeous down there, too. I love San Diego. Know it quite well. Well, let's get down to business with you, Lucy. The first thing that I am watching in my mind is two words, hard work. You're going to find that you don't have a heck of a lot of time to play. You're going to need to stay very, very focused. You're going to need to keep the personal discipline that you have been working so diligently at expressing. You're going to need to keep that exactly at right in front of you. Don't deviate from that. Hold true to the course. You've got some challenges that are going to be coming up during the month of November. And it seems to be in the area of communication. So don't be surprised if you find that when you set up meetings and you are trying to get an idea across, that you may have some blank looks on people's faces. And you need to be sure you ask the question, is what I'm expressing to you clear, however you want to phrase it? And your feedback, you may have a pause, and all you need to do is add a few words and say, if you have any questions, if I'm not being as specific with information as I need to be, please let me know, and let's see if we can clarify any questions. And it seems as if there needs to be that kind of what I would call evolution in the conversation, so that the people there feel comfortable with expressing expressing concerns, confusion, whatever there may be. So be prepared that you're going to have some people that when they listen to you, they are not going to understand your concept. So clarity is very, very important. And when you can get that across, it's almost as if there's a sigh of relief. And an individual will say, oh, my goodness, I was thinking something entirely different. So it's very important that your communication is clear. And remember, sometimes people have different mindsets. They have different paradigms. So a word can trigger their mind patterning to go into a different direction other than where you want them to go. So just be alert to that, be aware, and I think you'll be able to grow through a lot of this. It may be frustrating to you at times, but I think you're going to be able to grow through it. And you're going to find that it's going to serve you very well because it's going to enable you to be more sophisticated. That's the word I will choose to use. More sophisticated in how you present things so that you are going to find that it's much more effective. You have got a big year ahead of you in 2009 relative to communication. And I think it's starting, it actually started a couple of months ago, but it's really going to have some very strong emphasis in the now. And you just need to know that you are being prepared by these experiences to handle more responsibility, whether it is negotiating for money, whether it is pulling people together to work as a team. On so many different levels, this is going to be so valuable to you. What would you like to ask me today?
Well, everything that you talk about is everything that I'm working on, and I can see it mushrooming and unfolding as it continues. It's just so right on the nose. And I do find when I'm talking about certain subjects about to maybe one person or certain people, and if that person says something to me, I'm so surprised that they will ask that kind of a question, and I don't show the surprise, but I and then I take it home and I think this is good because I'm expecting them to receive the information in a different way, so it's making me more sensitive to exactly what you're talking about. This is such a great reminder.
Well, understand, people dependent on their experiences, what they have had to work with, they use their words to convey a certain image in their minds, just like you do. So when you're interacting with different people, the language that you use, that you're very comfortable with, and when I say language, I know that everybody understands the English. That's not what I'm trying to get across. We use words that are comfortable for us to paint verbal pictures. But someone else's experience may use other words that convey a different picture. And that is all that we're talking about here, is how people's minds create the pictures of information that you're wanting to get across. And that's why so often when people are in meetings, they'll use cartoons, they'll use illustrations that help to give the picture in people's minds of what they want to convey. The guest I had on earlier, when I was talking with him and he was describing certain things, you go to his website, you'll find particulars there that will give exact descriptions. Well, why is that so important? It's because pictures say a lot. They're worth 1,000 words many times. They convey an essence. And so you're trying to do it with words. And it's just a whole new discipline for you. I think it's great. I think you're going to grow from this. So remember, don't take it personally. You're just learning different languages, and you'll benefit from this tremendously.
I really believe what you're saying. I completely embrace that.
Well, Lucy, I wish you the best in everything that you're doing.
Thank you.
You're more than welcome, and I appreciate your call today.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. This is Donna Sebo. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. It's really simple if you want to do just like Lucy did. Call me at 877-876-5227 or 888-815-9756. My other guest, Dr. Walter, apparently he's gotten busy with a patient, and he was not able to be available for us, so we are just moving along. Telephone lines are open for you if you would like to do that. Meanwhile, let's go to this phone line. Hello, welcome to the show.
Hi, how are you?
I am wonderful. Who am I speaking with, and where are you calling from?
My name is Sarita, and I'm from New York.
You're from New York. I'm sorry, dear, I couldn't hear your name.
Sarita.
Sarita, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, what a beautiful name.
Thank you.
Now, I want you to know you need to pay attention to your intuitive abilities, and I will tell you why. You are a woman that all of your life, you will get these flashes. It's like someone's turned on a television set in your head. They come in so quickly. They're very clear, very concise, and for a long time, you didn't quite know what to do with them. And you found that you were sort of like a Star Trek spaceship. It was like, off you go. You'd get this information, and then consciously you'd recognize it and go, now what do I do with this? And sometimes it was stuff that was years ahead. In the last 7 years, you have found that your intuitive perceptions have become sharper, and in a way they're a little scary to you. But you don't need to be afraid of these. You need to document them so that your conscious mind is very comfortable with these flashes of information. I would encourage you to do as much reading as you want to do, to interact maybe with some classes or people that you can just see how they work and allow yourself to develop a sophistication with mind skills that are going to enable you to help other people, but also yourself. I think that you are one of those rare people that can utilize your talents for being able to acquire financial prosperity. And I know a lot of people would say, oh, that's terrible, that's not spiritual. Mind doesn't care. And when one has an ability, for example, you could walk out onto a piece of property and maybe know exactly what the value of that property would be, whether it should be developed, whether it shouldn't, or you should just bypass it. Investing, things like this. The more you study, the more you learn about how to work with money and how to use your financial skills, the better off you're going to be. You're just going to find your life is going to be very full. And your intuitive perspective is going to become very heightened and very sharpened. And you are someone that, if you're not careful, you can absorb other people's feelings to such a degree that they become your own. And it actually could cause you to be ill. So one of the disciplines that you need to acquire is that of detachment. And I'm seeing you becoming interested in a medical area of expertise, and this could have to do with some kind of therapeutic application, and it's just going to be wonderful for you, absolutely wonderful for you. It'll change your life and the lives of all kinds of people. So I want you to be aware of this, and I'm saying this to you because I don't often come in contact with people that have these capabilities and these talents. So I really, really appreciate the fact that you have them, and I want to say cultivate them, be true to them. You will never violate your own personal integrity, and you will empower yourself and a lot of other people in the process of developing these intuitive skills. You're a very talented woman. Do you have a question for me today?
Well, it was kind of mundane because I'm kind of worried about I want to stay in my apartment, but income has been almost to non-existent. So that's what I was worried about. And I know that I'm intuitive, and I'm the way I know this, of course, is when someone's talking to me and I can tell if they're lying. I mean,
mm-hmm.
That's usually how, or if we know if they're telling me the truth or they're BSing me. So, but I don't. I'm an actress, and I haven't been able to I go to auditions and I haven't been able to get any work. I've been sick for a couple of weeks. Sometimes I've had dreams about people I don't even know, and then I meet them later on, and then I'm thinking, oh my God, I've had a dream about this person and something that's going on in their life. So I tell them about the dream, and it turns out it's exactly what's been going on in their life. And it sort of spooks me out a little bit too, because I'm wondering, are they going to feel insulted that I know this much about them?
Well, so, I don't think so. You see, when you have abilities like you've got, I really would like for you to be comfortable with them. And though you have not had work as an actress, I think there are other avenues that you can be a part of that won't take away from your being involved in the environment of acting, but you can also have an income. So I really think that you can have work that you can be doing that could be involved in the industry that you love so much and have that work for you. But I really think you're going to be involved in the area of psychic work. I think that this is something that's going to bless you in many, many ways. And I think, again, you're a person of integrity. You will not violate these skills and these talents. But I think that you've got a major change ahead of you, a very, very big change ahead of you.
Well, I'm wondering, you know, if I become obsessed that I read everything on the internet about ascension, and I just can't stop.
Mm-hmm.
And any new meditation, I try it. I mean, or skill of protecting myself, with touch of the, that I have to visualize that I'm in like in a Holland, you know, or an octahedron, things like that. I'm totally obsessed with. I mean, I love reading about this stuff, and I don't really know. I mean, I believe that I study a lot and I read a lot about the psychic world, and I would love to be, like you're saying, develop that. I just I don't know how.
All right, hon. What you have to be aware of is that you are going to need to find the application and the expression of your skills and talents that suit you. You can read a lot of stuff. You don't want to be a garbage can for everything that's out there, but it's good you're reading.
Mm-hmm.
And you need to be discerning. You need to say, what feels good to me? What is it that I resonate with?
Mm-hmm.
And there are, in New York City, there are so many opportunities. But I would say, try to find an environment that offers a class on intuitive development and see about maybe joining that class. And maybe you could work as a volunteer, say I'll volunteer or whatever I can do. But I really think that your concern about your monetary positioning is justified. So let's deal with that in a very practical way. Ask yourself if you could do something else. Acting is going to be, I mean, you've been sick, your voice has been affected, so you need to say, what could I do that would enable me to have that sense of financial stability that I want and enable me to, when opportunity affords itself, to be back doing what I want to do? But where can I put myself so that I can add to my skill set, both as an actress and also be able to develop some new skills and understanding in the industry that I love so much that allows me to go further? And then I would just say compliment it. Just realize that you've got a lot of opportunities here. But I really think you're going to be very much involved with sharing your psychic abilities and skills with other people. And it probably will be in about 2 to 4 years. So be very practical about what you need to take care of now. You know, maybe there is a position at a theater or something like that that you could do that would keep you in touch with the environment that is so meaningful to you, that you dearly love. And then you can also be involved in some training and classes to develop your own intuitive skills. It's very important, I believe, when you're in an interactive class with other people to see how different people work so that you can be comfortable with your own identity and you know, it's just something that I think is very, very important, and there's a lot of good opportunities in New York City. You've got so many options. Just start asking around, and you'll get all kinds of people that will give you all kinds of suggestions. And you'll be directed to the right person.
Okay. Well, right off the top of my head, I'm thinking of the Association for Research Enlightenment, the Edgar Cayce Foundation here in New York.
Oh, I think that's a great place to start. That's a wonderful organization.
Yeah, because I use them. I go there a lot for massages and stuff. So I've always been connected to Edgar Cayce. I use all of his remedies. So I'm thinking that.
Mm-hmm. That's right. That's a wonderful place to start. That's a very, very good organization. So Rita, I thank you for your call.
Thank you so much for talking to me.
It's been my pleasure. It's been my pleasure. This is Donna Sebo, and we're going to be taking a break. Hey, if you want to call in and chat with me, the telephone number to call in to is 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227. Also, 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. We're going to be right back.
Do you want to lose weight? Do you deal with diabetes, high blood pressure, osteoporosis, or chronic pain? Do you want to know one of Dr. Perricone's 7 secrets to beauty, health, and longevity? Do you have 15 minutes a day to look and feel better? Then let me introduce you to DTaP, the workout that works. For the beginner or expert exerciser, learn from physical training specialist Teresa Tapp how, in just 15 minutes a day, you can burn fat and sugar, build strong bones and muscles, and lose inches fast with no equipment or jumping. Visit the TTAP website, ttap.com, or call 1-800-342-0717 to learn how. That's TTAPP.com. We'll help you lose inches, look good, and feel fabulous at TTAP. 1-800-342-0717, ttap.com.
Enter the magical world of God's kiss.
Johnny finds himself at the entrance to a large open valley, framed by high mountains rich in the brown red colors of the earth. He stands in awe, even a little fearful of the mountain's great size. After all, he's just a little boy and not very tall.
God's Kiss is a beautifully illustrated children's book about a young boy's journey into a valley with children and animals from all over the world. They are gathering together to experience the wonder of love and beauty that will affect their lives forever. A talking book audio narrated by the author Donna Sebo accompanies this wonderful storybook, creating a special magic all of its own. This book package makes a wonderful gift for those special children in your life ages 3 to 10. God's Kiss book and talking book audio are only $19.95 plus shipping and handling, and the author Donna Sebo will autograph and personalize your book if you request it. Call 800-872-8852. You can also order through Donna Sebo's website, www.delphiinternational.com. That 800 number again, 872-8852.
Hello. Well, we have been able to reach Dr. Walter, and I am just so excited. This is Dr. Walter Simkew. He has such an interesting background. Dr. Walter Simkew, thank you so much for being able to connect with us today. I know your schedule has just been incredibly busy.
Well, thank you for having me. And yes, actually right now we're in the middle of a conference at Marina Del Rey where we're presenting reincarnation cases. So if any of your listeners are here in Southern California in the Los Angeles area, it would be great if you could join us.
Well, that is fabulous. In fact, you're going to be appearing at the Wisdom Festival, and I hope to have the opportunity to meet you because I'm going to be there as well. But you're going to be talking about this book that you have put out. And I just, what is it, The Return of the Revolutionaries?
Yeah, there are two books. One is Return of the Revolutionaries, and the other one is called Born Again. And they both feature independently researched reincarnation cases that show that people have the same facial features, personality traits, talents, passions from lifetime to lifetime. And the fact that we observe that people have the same facial features, it gives us a whole new level of objectivity in doing reincarnation research.
Now, I am fascinated that a board-certified occupational medicine physician would be so interested in this. And you at one time were a medical director for Unical 76, a Fortune 500 company. You have so much in the way of a medical background. You're grounded, to use your words, you're grounded in science. You are a strong advocate of scientific method. How in the world did you ever get involved in reincarnation?
Well, it was on a lark, really. Back in 1984, when I was in my medical training, a friend told me that I should visit a medium who channels your spirit guides, and that this person was worth having a session with. And at the time, I didn't believe in psychics or mediums, but it was winter in Chicago, and there wasn't much else to do but study. And so I did it thinking it would be entertaining, and that's about it. And they told me in the session, I was told about two past lifetimes. I didn't really believe it, and I didn't do anything about it for 12 years. And then at the end of 1995, I got this strong internal command. It was actually a voice that seemed to be amplified by a megaphone inside my head that said, study these lifetimes. And I've never heard such a voice before or since. But it got my attention. It was undeniable. And that made me start researching these proposed past lives for me. And in addition, I started to research reincarnation in general. And I found many other cases where people were led to their past lives. They researched it. They found that they had the same appearance in this lifetime as the prior lifetime, same types of personality traits and talents. And so what I did is I compiled these cases and put them together with the pictures, the histories. Many times it involved people that you know, the normal person never would have heard of. They were people that were very obscure in history, but still a record was left. And so I basically became a reincarnation researcher, and that's how it happened.
How has this affected your life? There are people that would say, well, so what? We've lived a past life. If it can't enable us to do something better with this one, what's the use of even knowing? And is it important? Why? How has this changed your life? Here you were someone that was the scientist that was dedicated to following all of particular patternings that scientists follow and being very pragmatic. How does this continue to affect your life? How did it affect you in the beginning, and how does it affect you now?
Well, really, my biggest passion about the field is the sociological change that it can bring, because the case show that we can change religion, nationality, and ethnic affiliation from lifetime to lifetime. And one of the most powerful cases in this regard is a case involving a woman, Barbara Carlin, who had memories since childhood of being Anne Frank. And there's a whole class of reincarnation cases where children spontaneously remember past lives that can be validated. And a medical doctor at the University of Virginia named Ian Stevenson compiled 2,500 cases like this.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
Yeah, and in just the last 10 years, he also published two cases that showed that people look the same from lifetime to lifetime. Children that he first studied 25 years ago, when they were 2 or 3 years old, he revisited them in 1998, when these individuals now were full-grown adults, and they look exactly like who they were before. And Barbara Carlin's case is very much in this category, and she remembered that her name was Anne Frank, or Anna Frank, when she was 3 years old back in 1957, at a time where her parents didn't even know who Anne Frank was, because the diary had not yet been published in Sweden, where she was born.
Mm-hmm.
She was born into a Christian family in Sweden. And she had full memories of that lifetime, the arrest, the concentration camp, and so forth. And her parents thought she was making this all up. When she was 10 years old, by now the diary of Anne Frank had been published. They knew who Anne Frank was. They still didn't believe Barbara, But they went to Amsterdam. It was the first time Barbara ever went to Amsterdam. And the father wanted to go to the Anne Frank house, which is located there. And he got the telephone, picked up the phone at the hotel, and to call a cab to take him there. And Barbara says, "We don't need a cab. It's right near here." And he said, "Well, how could you know? You've never been here." And she said, "Let me show you. I know." And she took him by the hand and led them through the winding streets of Amsterdam straight to the Anne Frank house. Inside, she knew where artifacts should have been located, where photographs should have been located that had been actually taken down for preservation because people were touching them and damaging them. And this was confirmed by the guide at the house. And this was the first time her parents ever came to believe that what she was talking about all these years about this past life as Anne Frank, they realized that this was real. Because how else could she know all these things? And just like Anne Frank, Barbara Carlin was a childhood writing prodigy who had a book published at the age of 12 that became the best-selling poetry book in Swedish history. Barbara finally wrote a book about this in 1996. It's called And the Wolves Howled. I met her in 2000. I was skeptical at first, but then realized she was genuine. And in her book, she never once says that she looks like Anne Frank, because to her, her memories are what made it real for her. And because I had been studying these cases, made the observation about similar facial features, I was the first one who actually matched the pictures of Barbara and Anne Frank, and Barbara has the same face. And so this case powerfully demonstrates that you can change religion and ethnicity and nationality. And I point out that if 70 years ago the German people knew that you could be born Jewish in one lifetime and Christian in another, there never could have been a Holocaust. And that is really why I'm so passionate about it. I see how this research can really help create a new world, a more peaceful world.
She has such a fascinating story, but you have researched how many people yourself for this book?
Well, we have probably about a total of 2,000 cases now. The Revolutionaries book features about 120 of them, about 70 of those cases with pictures, comparing facial features from lifetime to lifetime. The Born Again book probably has about 50 cases. The Born Again book was published in India. I was featured on CNN there. And I put in what I thought were the most important cases from the Revolutionaries book, plus new cases, including the Anne Frank case.
Mm-hmm. Now, in India, in their culture, this is very much accepted. In fact, I was having a conversation with a gentleman from India just a few days ago, and we were discussing this very topic. And he said, in our culture, it's something that we don't even question it. We just, it's accepted. But it is very challenging to a lot of people in today's world because they say, well, we're past that. We don't want to go there. And again, the value of it, as you're perceiving it, if I'm understanding you correctly, is that you feel that the value of doing the research on this is that there is a responsibility of making people aware that you are going to have an opportunity to bring something of value to life, and you can do this. You can make these choices. What is the most interesting case to you other than Barbara Carlin?
Well, there's so many of them. There's a case involving a police captain named Robert Snow, who had no belief in reincarnation, but went to a past life regression therapist spontaneously during the regression. Though he didn't believe this would happen, he tapped into a past lifetime where he was a portrait painter, and he said the experience was more real than waking consciousness. And he specifically saw himself painting a portrait of a hunchback woman. He remembered 30 other details of that lifetime. Afterwards, he didn't understand what happened to him. He didn't really believe in reincarnation, so he assumed that this was a that he had from childhood, that he learned about this portrait painter and saw this portrait of a hunchback woman as a child, forgot about it, and it surfaced in the regression. And for a year, he tried to research and find this painting and painter with no luck. At that time, his wife said, why don't we go to New Orleans? They live in Indianapolis. We've never been to New Orleans. Let's do that for our anniversary. And they did. And on the last day he was there, he was walking through the French Quarter, went into this little tourist gallery, goes in the back, and there's the portrait of the hunchback woman exactly like he saw it.
Amazing.
And he freaked out. You know, he said he was never so scared in his life. He says, I've been shot at, stabbed at, but I was never so scared and disturbed as when I saw that painting and realized this is the painting that I saw in the regression. And he said that it just kind of blew him away. And he thought at first, am I hallucinating this or am I dreaming this? And he realized this was real. And he asked and then he even thought, well, maybe still I saw this painting on tour somewhere. And he asked the salesman, is it possible I've seen this painting in a museum? And they said, no, this painter actually wasn't that good. It's been in private hands since 1912. And Captain So realized that there was no way he actually saw this before in this lifetime. And that maybe he painted this in a prior lifetime. Well, now he had the name. In most regression experiences, you see visual images, but you don't get names, dates, places, which makes it hard to historically validate memories in a regression. Now he had the painting. He got the name of the painter, which was Carol Beckwith. He found that Beckwith had a diary in the New York Academy of Design. He wasn't the greatest painter, but he was a good organizer, administrator, just like Bob Snow, who became a police captain. And he validated all the memories that he had, the 30 memories that he had in the regression. He validated them all.
Amazing.
And then he also has the same face.
Well, Dr. Simkew, we could talk about this forever, but we're out of time now. You are going to be at the Wisdom Festival, which is being held in San Francisco on October 17th and 18th. You're going to be speaking about this. I look forward to meeting you. We are just about out of time here. Thank you so much for being my guest today, Walter.
Thank you.
This is Donna Sebo. We are broadcasting from Tampa, Florida, but the time is out, and we're going to have to say goodbye. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. This is Donna Sebo. Have a fabulous, fabulous weekend. I'll be back in my home studio on Monday, and we'll have more good things to share about how to conquer your fear of water and other good things, too. Donna Sebo here. Bye for now.
Donna Sebo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.